my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Now say, I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. Let's see. You can turn in your Bibles. I'll be there in just a second. To Hebrews, the 9th chapter and the first verse. Hebrews, the 9th chapter and the first verse. And I'm actually continuing in a series that we had called Pray First. Everybody say, Pray First. And there's a part in your prayer guides that I gave you that I never got to teach, and it's on tabernacle prayer. And when you kind of understand this whole idea about the tabernacle, it was kind of like a protocol to God's presence. And so I want to show this to you, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Although we thank God that we don't have to wait for a man to go into the Holy of Holies for us and those kind of things. The veil has been rent from the top to the bottom, giving us access. But how many know just because we don't need that, we don't throw away the Old Testament? You got it. And so Jesus came to fulfill the law, but there's still some truths and principles that we find in the Old Testament that are super, super important. And so just to give you a backdrop, the children of Israel, and you can go to Hebrews 9, the children of Israel are in Egypt, and they cross the Red Sea, Moses gets the Ten Commandments, and then if you remember, they spend 40 years in the wilderness because of their disobedience. Do you all kind of remember that? All right. While they wandered in the wilderness, they had a portable church. Everybody say portable church. All right. Tabernacle really means tent, dwelling place, or sanctuary. That's what it means. And so that was the portable church that they had because they went from just place to place wandering. And of course, if you remember the whole cloud by day, fire by night. So they would set up camp in a certain place and they would not move until the cloud moved. And that's how they knew when it was time to go and those kind of things. And so that was the portable church. And of course, later on, they actually had the permanent church, which is called the temple that Solomon built according to the instructions that David had given him. David was the architect, as the case may be, but his son Solomon was the builder. David said, I got blood on my hands. I can't do this. You got it. And I know I'm kind of moving fastly, so some of it you just have to go back and read because I really want to get to where I'm going. And so they had this portable church to worship and offer sacrifices, and thank God that we don't have to worship like that anymore because Jesus came, and Hebrews says that he gave us a new and a living way, that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood, and now the veil has been rent from the top to the bottom, giving me direct access. I don't have to wait for one day, which they call the Day of Atonement, for the high priest to go in on my behalf at any place, at any time. I can go directly to God myself, and I don't know about you, but that's a really, really big thing, and I'm thankful that I can do that on my own. Amen? All right, Hebrews 9:1, and we're going to read verses 1-7. So while we don't have to follow the same pattern of the Old Testament tabernacle, there are still some truths that we can pull from it. Hebrews 9:1, let's kind of look at how it went. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up in its first room, and in the first room, there was a small tent inside a big tent. OK, so basically, and if you all have your prayer guide, if you look on page 8 at the top, there's a diagram. And so as I'm reading this, you'll kind of even be able to kind of understand it. I love Bible study. I do. I love the word. I love to learn something. So it says the first room. The first room was a small tent inside the big tent where the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Everybody say holy place. All right. Behind the second curtain was a room called the Most Holy Place. You've also heard it called the Holy of Holies, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. This Ark contained the gold jar of manna. If you know anything about the manna, it represented God's provision. It also had Aaron's staff that had budded. What was so important about his staff budding? But what happens was his staff was not in the ground connected to anything. You got it. It was just his staff walking around, not connected to any vines, but it. So you see, you know, supernatural power of God. And then the stone tablets of the covenant, which are probably what? Ten Commandments, right? Above the ark were the cherubim. Of course, cherubims are angels of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover, which is the mercy seat, which is the presence of God, which is where God dwelt. All right? Now, just everybody say, stay with him. So even if you're reading and saying, Pastor, I have no idea what you're talking about, just stay with me, and by the end, I promise you, you're going to understand it all. Amen? All right? And so where did I start? But we cannot discuss things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry, but only the high priest entered in the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. So this was a protocol, as the case may be, to get into the presence of God. In other words, you don't rush into the presence of God. You don't just go to God and say, God, I need you to do this, this, and that. There's a protocol, or there's a way, as the case may be, that you just approach his presence. And so it's really a pattern for prayer. Everybody say a pattern for prayer. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. So if you have page 8, go ahead and open to page 8. Y'all have your prayer guides? Y'all bring your prayer guides with you? Okay. Okay, good. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Was there anybody here on Sunday that did not get a prayer guide? I probably should have asked that. Okay, so I'm going to keep teaching. And so y'all keep your hands up, and somebody in the back is going to hook you up, all right? So you won't have to keep your hands up long because they're going to get them quickly, all right? But everybody else keep paying attention. Amen? All right, so let's talk about the tabernacle. There was three locations. How many locations?
Three.
All right, so there was the outer court, there was the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. And so there was the outer court that had this tent on the inside that had another tent inside it. So it was almost like a tent with two rooms, all right? The outer court had no covering. It had no roof or canopy, as the case may be, but the Holy of Holies and the tent, it did, all right? And so we have the outer court, then we have this inside tent that's broke down into two sections, the holy place and the most holy and the Holy of Holies. There was a curtain that separated these two sections, and it was actually called the veil. So you have the outer court, then you go into the most, then you go into the holy place, and when you go into the holy place, there's the candlestick, there's the showbread, we're going to talk about all that, altar of incense, and then there's this veil, and no one is to go inside that veil except the high priest on the Day of Atonement. Even the regular priest could not go in there, all right? And so the thing that's real interesting to understand about the veil is because after Jesus died and shed his blood, the Bible said that the veil had been rent from the top to the bottom, giving us direct access. And so now we have an understanding that although we appreciate this pattern for prayer, we have direct access to God. And thank God nobody has to go to Jesus on my behalf. I can go to Jesus all by myself. Amen. All right. So let me switch from this to this, man. All right. So go to number one. Are you at number one? All right. So number one, we see the outer court. We see the outer court. As the people of God entered the tabernacle, they came in with thanksgiving on their lips, thanking God for all the blessings in their life in a great way. And so now we have this outer court. And in this outer court, it represents thanksgiving and praise. Psalms 104 says, enter into his gates with what, class? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and praise his name. And so that is exactly what they did. When they came in thanking God. They had a praise on their lips. How many know that when we come into the house of the Lord, we shouldn't wait for the praise team to get us going? We should come in with this attitude of gratitude and have this, you understand what I'm saying? Have this thankful heart that, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to worship God. And so when we pray, this is the first thing Pastor does. As soon as I get up to pray, and I go into my office and pray. I start praying, Father, I thank you that this is the day that you have made. I choose to rejoice, and I'm glad to say, I thank you for life. I thank you for health. I thank you for strength. I thank you that you're a good God, and not only are you a good God, you're a great God, and you're worthy to be praised. You're the air that I breathe. You're the song that I sing. Thank you for, you know, doing this in my life, and thank you for doing that in my life. So I'm coming with this thanksgiving. I'm coming with this praise. You got it? And then as you come in, and there was only one way to get in to into the tabernacle. There weren't different gates. There was only one way. And they said that that gate, which I think is 7 feet long, is basically resembling who Jesus is. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You understand what I'm saying? And so that was why there wasn't, you know, why couldn't people come in and, you know, like we got a couple different doors here at the church. Why wasn't it like that in the tabernacle? Because it represented that there was only one way. All right. And so now, number two, as you go into the outer courts, the first thing you see is the brazen altar. I'm going to read this part. In the Old Testament, everyone who had committed sin had to bring animal sacrifices. Jesus paid for all your sins once and for all. You simply need to receive the benefits of what Jesus has done for you. So when we look at the brazen altar, we really understand that the brazen altar has everything to do with the cross of Jesus and the blood that was shed for us on Calvary. And so after I begin to thank him and praise him, you got it, I begin to thank him for the blood. For what can wash away my sins? And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary for me over 2,000 years ago. I thank you that the blood has not lost its power, that it still reaches to the highest mountain, that it still flows to the lowest valley. I thank you for the blood that purges me, that purifies me, and that protects me. I thank you that if there hadn't been no shedding of blood, there would have been no remission of sin. So I'm thanking God for the blood and everything that he had done. Watch this. Psalms 103, verses 2 and 5. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives how many of your sins? All right, so we thank him for the blood, isn't it right? Who heals what? All your diseases. We thank him, you got it, that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm already healed. Who redeems your life from the pit, you got it? He protects me and he keeps me from things. Who crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things. He blesses me and he keeps on blessing me. And so as I'm praying this, I'm coming in, I'm giving God thanks and praise, and then I thank him for the blood that was shed for me on Calvary. If you look at the bottom part of number two, you'll see, you know, in the redemptive work of Christ, the salvation, the healing, the redemption, the transformation, the provision. And so that's why we gave you these prayer guides to help you. So as you begin to pray, you pray these. Now, let me tell you what I do. So what I do is I pray this because I have my own regimen that I pray. So now I'm incorporating my regimen into different parts. So the different parts I pray for healing for my body, and, you know, I put that in one place, and I pray for my family. You know, I put that in a different place. You know, when it comes to my needs and the things that I need God to do for me, I'm putting that in another place. And so what I'm doing is I'm praying this entire thing, and as I'm praying this, and as we keep going, you'll see that as you pray this, I want everybody to pray this for 7 days straight. Okay, let me tell you why. Because the first day it's just going to be okay, because you never did it before, and the second day it's just going to be okay because you never did it before. But the more, because even I'm so used to praying my prayer regimen, so I know how to pray that thing, man. I flow. I feel like I can get into his presence in like 2 minutes when I pray, you know. But when I first got this and started getting a hold of it and praying it, it's like, it's a little different. And the more I did it, man, but, you know, as I started flowing this, man, I really begin to experience the presence of God. I really begin to hear from God, to the degree that as you begin to pray this, you'll just use this as a guide. You might just start thanking him for the blood, and the Holy Spirit will say, pray for this and pray for that. And then you'll start praying in your whole own heavenly language and praying, you know, in the spirit and those kind of things. Now, let's go to number three. The next thing that you see as you enter, because please understand, what we're doing is we're giving you a roadway, as the case may be, of how as you enter in to get all the way to the Holy of Holies. So the first thing we saw was the brazen altar. The next thing we see is the laver, and this is for cleansing and preparation. And so this is when I begin to repent of any of my sins. Now, the laver was a bowl. At the bottom of the bowl on the inside, there was a mirror. You got it. And that's where they would wash their hands, you know, wash themselves before they went into the most holy place. And it caused them to have a reflection to understand that they were just a mere man going into the presence of Almighty God. And how many know that when we pray, we're just mere human beings going into the presence of an Almighty God? Amen. And so then I begin to you know, just repent for any sins known or unknown. Wash me and cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb. All those kind of things. We're going to do this on Saturday. So come on Saturday and you're going to say, okay, I see how pastor flows. I see how it works. You got it? And so repent from any sins. Offer your body to God. Do what, class? All right? Your tongue, Father, I thank you that my tongue only speaks good and it doesn't speak evil. My eyes, Father, I thank you that my eyes, I thank you for my eyes to see God and the needs of others. I thank you that my eyes are only focused on the things that, you know, that I'm supposed to focus on. I thank you that I make a covenant with my eyes that I won't look on things that don't belong to me. You got it? So I begin to pray for my eyes. Pray for your ears, that you're sensitive to his voice, that you hear his voice and a voice of a stranger you don't hear. Your hands to do good to others. Your feet to walk in God's way. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. You got it? And then I offer my mind to God. I always declare every day, Father, I thank you that my mind is alert and I think the thoughts of God. You got it? I thank you that I have the mind of Christ. I thank you that carnal thoughts don't reside long in my mind, that when they come, I immediately cast them down. What am I doing? I'm preparing myself for the day that I'm not going to let a whole bunch of crazy stuff get in my mind, that I'm not going to let my flesh have the front row, but I'm going to let my spirit have the front row. So throughout that day, watch this, I can have a day of joy, peace in my life, but I can also be a blessing and impact somebody else's life. And that's why it's so important to pray in the morning before you go to work. You got it? Before you go to school, or no matter what it is, just before you get about your day. If, you know, listen, it doesn't even have to be the tabernacle prayer. How many know that everybody should just pray every day? Isn't that right? Okay. And so we're at number four. Now you're at the point where you would enter into the holy place, and there's three pieces of furniture that are in the holy place. The first thing that you're going to see is the candlestick that had seven prongs that represented the sevenfold anointing. I'm going to read this excerpt. It says, the next piece of furniture in the tabernacle was a seven-branch golden candlestick. The fire represents the Holy Spirit. Every day you should invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into your life. And Isaiah 11 and 2 begins to talk about the sevenfold anointing, that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom. I pray for that. The Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And so in case you're like, well, what's the seven? I didn't get that. We've got them all down there. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And so what I do is I take one of those things, you got it, and I'll pray. For like instance, Father, I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to teach the WLCC. He's anointed me to impact people's lives in an amazing way. And so everywhere I go, I thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and that when people come into my presence and leave, Father, I thank you that they leave in a better way than when they came. You understand what I'm saying? And so you don't have to pray exactly what I pray. I'm just trying to help you, to give you a pattern so you can see, no, I make it my own. Pastor's not saying I got to do this or I got to do it this way. Pastor's just telling me that it's important to have a prayer life. It's important to pray. Does that make sense? All right. And so then the next thing is the table of showbread. And I know I'm kind of going through some things because I need to get you out of here in a few minutes. And so there's a table of showbread, which represents the word of God, which is quick and sharp and powerful. How many know that? And how many know the writer says, thy word, O Lord, have I hidden where? So I can't just get the word in my head. I got to get it in my heart. How do I get it in my heart? I read it, I hear it, I listen to it, I meditate on it, I confess it, and the more I do it, and the more I do it, and the more I do it, it gets from my head down into my heart. You know, Joshua 1, when Moses is gone, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night to observe to do all that is in it. If you do these things, then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. How many know that the word of God will cause you to prosper and have good success? Amen? All right. And so so there was a table. I think this is interesting, so I got to give this to you. There's a table that had 12 loaves of bread, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel. The priest would bake the bread, and would put it on the table, and then on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, would eat the bread. You got it? Because bread, when you sit down and eat with bread, watch it, when we, if someone says, hey, let's go break bread together, that's a sign of communion or fellowship. And so the priest would stay in, in the holy place, would eat the bread inside the holy place as, a thing of him just communing with God, and then would bake more bread, put it on, and kind of do the same thing. Does that make sense? All right. Underneath, we said you have to read God's word. You have to claim his promises. Ask for fresh revelation of the word. Take time to read and meditate on the word. And then listen, every day get a word for God for your life for the day. You want me to tell you one of the easiest ways to do that? Just get on the prayer line. That's all you got to do. You got it. Every time we get on the prayer line, all the prayer leaders, either they're going to give us a scripture or they're going to give us a point or they're going to tell us a story about something. They all do it differently, and that's what I love about it. There's no rhyme or reason right or wrong. They follow the Holy Spirit. You got it? And so all you have to do, and a lot of times when you get on there, they say something and it just clicks. You got it? And then whatever that is that click, you keep that all through the day. Don't just leave it when we hang up at 7:15, but you keep that all. Not that you're not going to concentrate on other things, not that you won't read other things, not that you won't focus on other things, but that one thing that ministered to you on the prayer line, you keep going with that. You keep going with that, all right? And so, and then there's the altar of altar of incense. At this point, I'm ready to enter into the Holy of Holies. And the way you do this, the altar of incense has everything to do with having worship on your lips. You got it? That's exactly what it has to do. It has to do with worship on your lips. The Proverbs 18 and 10 says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are what? Say. And so the excerpt, let's read it. A small altar of burning incense stood at the entrance of the Holy of Holies where God's presence dwelt. This altar represents worship. The people of God literally entered God's presence worshiping the names of God. You got it? And so then it says, including all these. What are these under here, Pastor? These are the covenant names of God. These are the covenant names of God. Now, we gave you God, my righteousness, because we wanted you to understand. Of course, that's Jehovah Sikkenu. You got it? God, my sanctifier, what's that? Mekadesh, right? Jehovah, some people say it differently, Mekadesh. I say Jehovah Mekadesh. I don't know. I don't understand the Greek or Hebrew a whole lot, all right? God, my healer, what's that one? We know that one. Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Rofika, right? God, my provider is Jehovah Jireh. My banner of victory, Jehovah Nisi. He's my banner of victory. God, my peace is Jehovah Shalom. God, my shepherd is Jehovah Ra. The God who's always there or forever present is Jehovah Shammah. And so what I do is, I'm in straight worship mode. I mean, I'm worshiping God, and I'm saying, Father, I thank you that you are my righteousness. You got it? And then I'll say a few things behind that. Father, I thank you that you are my sanctifier, that you sanctify me, that you set me apart. Father, I thank you that you are my healer. Because of the stripes of Jesus, I'm already healed. Father, I thank you that you're my provider. I don't worry about anything because you are my shepherd, and I shall not want for anything. You understand what I'm saying? You have always provided, and Father, I know that you always will provide. It's not based on my, it's not based on it's not based on my paycheck coming in. It's not based on what the government can do for me. But Father, I thank you. So I'm worshiping my provider. You got it? And then after that, he's my banner. He's my banner of victory. But I take it to the whole next another level. He's my banner of peace. He's my banner of love. He's my banner of joy. He's my banner of protection. He is my victory. You understand what I'm saying? And so I pray like that. And then I go to he's my peace. And I declare that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I don't worry about anything. I don't argue about anything. I don't get frustrated about anything. I'm not distracted by anything. You understand? So that's what I'm doing. And I'm telling you, saints, the more you do it, and the more you do it, and the more you do it, it becomes so real to you. But let me back up and help you. You know how Pastor's spitting all this stuff off now? Pastor could not always spit this stuff off now. I remember, and it's 8:05, so y'all just give me a few more minutes and I'll let you go. Y'all all right? Okay? I remember when my pastor first started teaching confession. And he gave us confessions, you know. So I had no clue what a confession was or how to make a confession. I had never heard of it in my life. And my pastor started giving us confessions like we've given you confessions. And I've always been a walker. And so I had to walk, you know, and say all day long, policies, rules, regulations, and laws are changed. And what was that? Reversal, my bad. Because, you know, it didn't flow. You got it? Because I'm trying to, first of all, just kind of learn it. Before you get it in your heart, you got to at least kind of get it in your head, you know. But the more you do it, and the more you do it, and the more you do it, it comes from your head, and it gets into your heart to the degree that, listen, when you look at it, it's just a guy. I think the policies, rules, regulation, laws are changed and reversed on my behalf, that I win battles that I don't have to fight because you fight them for me. This is the day. I said this is the day. Thank you, Father, that this is, matter of fact, this is my day. I'm excited about my day. That's how I pray. You got it? And then I might not get back to that favorite confession for a long time because I done moved into, this is my day of increase. This is my day of prosperity. This is my day of joy. This is my day that you shine on me like the sun shines on the earth. You understand what I'm saying? So you pray however you want to pray. My whole thing is I just got to make sure everybody's praying. Does that make sense? Right? Remember, we go from desire to discipline to delight. There's got to be a desire on the inside. You've got to realize this is important that I pray. There's 24 hours in the day. I can give God 15 minutes. Isn't that right? All right. And then you follow desire with discipline. I'm going to make myself do it. I'm just going to make myself. You have to learn how to make yourself pray. But the more you do it and the more you do it, you don't have to make yourself anymore. Because after a while, it becomes a delight to pray. And then you see how God shows up. You got it as a result of you praying. Does that make sense? All right. And then things are rolling. You got it. That now I have entered into his presence. You got it. The Ark of the Covenant. Now his presence is on me. There's the Ark of the Covenant. There's the mercy seat. This is the presence of God. Let me read the excerpt. The final place in the tabernacle was the place where God's presence dwelt. It was there that the priests interceded on behalf of the people in the New Testament. You and I are called priests and instructed to intercede for others. And so now, watch this. So now roles have shifted. Now I have entered into his presence. You got it? I have done the Thanksgiving part. I've talked about the blood of Jesus. I've repented for my sins. Are y'all following me? Because this is everything I've taken you through. You know, I've done everything. Now I'm at the place where, man, you know, worship has been on my lips and worship comes down. Matter of fact, I did one thing as I was, Holy Spirit reminded me, there's two things in Scripture that show us that move God and cause his presence to come in our lives. That is our worship and our giving. Our worship and our giving. Okay? I'm not going to go to the Scripture, but do you remember when Cornelius, angel showed up, whole thing with Peter going to his house and those kind of things? What was the thing that the angel said to him? He said that your prayers and alms have gone up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling fragrance. You got it? So your prayers and your giving. Giving is also a form of worship. You got it? And so when we give, we should really understand that, hey, man, I'm worshiping God in my giving. I'm worshiping God. Father, I'm saying that I'm giving to you. I'm giving back to you what already belongs to you. I'm giving to you the tithe, Father. I thank you that it's blessed. And I thank you because I give the 10% that you're blessing my other 90. So I worship you in this. I worship you and thank you that you gave me the ability to work this week. I worship you and thank you that you gave me the strength. I worship and thank you that you gave me the breath. So I gladly give back to you the tithe or the tenth because it belongs to you. And I thank you that you will continue to increase me, that you will continue to give me strength, and that you will continue to give me wisdom for success for the rest of my days. Does that make sense? So when I pray and when I give, those are forms of worship that go up as a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. Isn't that good? Oh, man, it's all good. I know I got to go. It's 8:10. Jesus. Stand up. Oh, Lord, play something soft, Cordy. We got to go. They know when you play, I'm done. All right, I'm going to give you this last one while we're doing this, all right? So now the roles switch. And let me tell you what I love about this. Because how many know we're called kings and priests in the Bible? So now I'm in the presence of an almighty God. the creator of heaven and earth, the one who neither slumbers, neither does he sleep. One of my favorite scriptures, I learned it many, many years ago when I was probably 17 years old, and it's Psalms 121. David says, I will lift up my eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. He says, all of my help comes from the Lord which made the heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul. He shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. If I had time, I would take you through those and show you the place of provision, the place of protection. You got it? And as you begin to look at that. But the roles have now switched. So now when I'm in the presence of Almighty God, watch this now, I'm supposed to intercede. I'm supposed to begin to pray. You got it? And we gave you, pray for those in authority. So I'm like, for me, let me just kind of use, I pray for those in authority. So I pray for my pastor. I pray for my spiritual father. You got it? There's three men in my life, Bishop Hilliard, my dad, Bishop McIver, and Pastor Taylor. I pray for them every day. You got it? And then civil, I pray for my president. You got it? And I pray for the cabinet and those are in authority. Well, I don't like the president, and I ain't going to pray for him. That's your problem. You carnal. The Bible didn't say pray if you like him. Because if that's the case, because y'all know we have Republicans, Democrats, and no-crats all in the House. Y'all do know that, right? But we ain't going to fall apart. Isn't that right? Everybody has their right. You got it. It's just my job to teach righteousness and how to make good decisions. The rest is up to you. Isn't that right? Yeah. But my thing is, because if that's the case, then when the Republicans are in office and the Democrats say, I'm not going to pray. And then when the Democrats are in office, then the Republicans say, I'm not going to pray. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you're a Christian, you pray for everybody in authority that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. So let me tell you what I pray. Let me just tell you what I pray. When I pray for my president and the cabinet and all these other people, senators and all that, I pray that they have an encounter with God. I pray that they hear God's voice, that they make good decisions for the people of God to help us live, you know, a better life. You understand? And so those are the kind of things that they have the wisdom of God and not from man, that they only hear God's voice on certain things. You got it? That even if they're about to go and make a bad decision because, you know, someone has prompted it to them, or even if it's in their heart to make a bad decision, that the Holy Spirit would arrest them at that moment and make them, you know, switch up. So that's how I pray. You got it? Those in authority, family, I pray for my parents. I pray for ladies' parents. I mean, they just both happen to be my pastors as well, but you don't understand what I'm saying. It's not the same for you. You got it? For the workplace, pray for your boss. You got it? See, a lot of times people don't, because, how can I say this? Because we're always just concerned about us and our needs. Sometimes we're not understanding, you know, you're one person and your boss has, let's say, maybe 30 people under him, or 15 people, you got, or 10 people, whatever. And so sometimes they don't move as quick as you think they ought to do. But don't you realize that you're just one person? They got a whole bunch of people. Does that make sense? So pray for them. You got it? Pray for them. I can pray for my boss, certainly, if God tells me to pray for my enemies. Isn't that right? And maybe if I pray for my boss, you got it, that God would lead them and guide them, that God would lighten the load for them, that God would give them wisdom. You understand what I'm saying? Next time I walk into work, I'm like, man, my boss is, what's going on with my boss? You've been praying. Right? And so let's go underneath that. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. I hope you pray for me because I pray for you every day. You got it. And can I be honest with you? If you don't do anything, I expect you to pray for me. Because, like, I'm serious about you, and I'm serious about you growing spiritually. I'm serious about you making a difference. I'm serious about your marriage going to the next level. You know, I pray for your finances. I pray for your children. I pray for your health. I mean, I'm super serious about you, so I want you to be super serious about praying for me. Does that make sense? Because after all, there's one of me or two of us and 800 of y'all. Isn't that right? So if I come up to you, you got it. My brother in the maroon short sleeve shirt, I was gonna go and greet him, and then his name escaped me, and he's a newer member. He's been to iConnect, and I was like, oh man, And then I didn't get a chance to make it to Pastor Pat, because Pastor Pat knows his name. And so, but let's say I went up to him and I said, hey, man, I forgot your name. Well, he's not going to get upset, because it's 800 of y'all and there's only two of us. So it's easy to remember James and Legante. Because, like, if you don't believe me, I'll swap with you for a day.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
All right. Pray for my city, my nation, and the world. And then watch this. At the end, I pray for my needs. And so everything that I'm believing for, everything I need God to do in my life, you got it, and all those kind of things, you know, I wrap it up with that. You got it, anything that I'm believing for. And then I close out that this is the confidence that I have in you. That if I ask anything according to your will, that you hear me. And not only do you hear me, but you grant the petition. So I believe that I receive right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Then I